Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Let's read it again. Proverbs 22, 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Now there are illustrations of this proverb really that are too numerous to relate in a short radio broadcast. That is that somebody would have some bread, and then he would find somebody that was poor, and then he would give of his bread to that poor person because he had a bountiful eye. In this broadcast, therefore, we're going to relate enough to give you a thorough understanding of this proverb, mainly by its examples and its applications. The promise to the man that does what this proverb says, give of his bread to the poor, is that he will be blessed. And of course, he doesn't give just so that he can be blessed. I've heard that preached. He gives because it is in his heart to do that. You see, what motivates him is that he already has a bountiful eye. If he has a little bit, he looks around to see if there's anybody else that has a need greater than his before he partakes of the bread that he has, so that he can make sure that somebody who doesn't have it can have enough before he eats it all himself. First and foremost, when we apply this proverb, we've got to remember, Jesus gave of his bread to us. You know, Jesus Christ, when he fed the 5,000, was approached the very next day by the same group of people who wanted the food that he had given out the day before. I mean, who doesn't want that, you know? And Jesus said to the group that came around, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. And then what he did is he laid down his life for us that we might receive him and by his bread enjoy eternal life. Man, you talk about a gift. You talk about a bountiful eye. You talk about a man blessed. The blessing is that because Jesus Christ laid down his life, gave himself as the bread of life that we might be saved. Just imagine, just estimate in your head the millions of people that have gotten saved as a result of the bountiful eye of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessing that it's been to him and to his Father to see those millions saved who would not have been saved had he not laid down his life and given of his bread. But you know, his bread includes more than just his life, although that's such a great gift. It also includes his word. You know, when Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil, when he had been sent to the wilderness by the Spirit of God, the devil tempted him to change stones into bread and eat that bread. And Jesus said to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What Jesus Christ was quoting is found in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says, he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, or man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's his bread. He fed them with manna so that they would know you're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. The comparison there is bread. And you know something? We do. We have eternal life because Jesus Christ, the bread of life, gave of himself to us. And then we enjoy the daily benefits and growth of that eternal life as we read the Word of God and partake of our daily bread. I think, as a matter of fact, there was a devotional book called Our Daily Bread, and there were short devotions from the Bible that were written in there, you know, so that you would have a chance to be nourished by the words of God every day. I remember 20 years ago when I started reading the Bible, there weren't any days much that passed from that time till this that I didn't read. I can remember after I read it, I thought, you know, I need to start reading this every day, and I started reading it every day, and then I heard that preachers were recommending to their congregations that they read every day. And I know that I heard that some read 10 pages a day, and I heard one preacher talked about reading 40 pages a day. And I've seen calendars where you could follow a plan of reading that would take you through the Bible once in a year. There are one-year Bibles that are designed the way they're laid out so that you can read a little from the Old Testament and a little from the New Testament and somewhere from the Psalms and Proverbs and go through your Bible once a year that way. In the front of my Bible right now, I have a little tract that was developed by a fellow last name Melton, and it's called the 120-Day Bible Reading System to give you an opportunity to get through your Bible three times a year. And in this particular system that I have in the front of my Bible, the passages are divided up so that you're reading something from the Old Testament, something from the New Testament, and then something in the middle of the day that begins with the book of Job and eventually ends with, with the Song of Solomon. So you read through Psalms and Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes a couple of chapters each noon. You read about six chapters in the morning from the Old Testament, and you read a couple of chapters in the evening from the New Testament, and that gets you through your Bible three times in a year. And all of these little things are designed so that you will partake daily of the bread of life and be well-fed sheep who can reproduce for God Almighty. Now, the problem today that you know is true, and I think it's been a problem for some time, is that a lot of people are not Bible readers. In other words, you go to a Sunday school class, you might even be a part of a Bible study, and you go to church, but on a regular basis, you're not a Bible reader. Let me tell you something. Jesus gave the bread of life to you as a poor, helpless sinner, that you might grow and be nourished by the words of God. You know, you don't skip many meals. Oh, you may find a reason to fast from time to time, but generally speaking, you make a regular habit of eating food. Why? Why do you do that? Why do you keep going back to the table to eat more food? Why do you do that? You say, well, I have an appetite for it. Yes. You say, I need it because I've got to nourish my body or else I won't have the strength to live. I'll die. Yes. Well, if your body physically has an appetite for food and your body naturally will not live if you don't continue to eat, then why would you think that your spirit is any different? Why would you think that you should not develop an appetite for the words of God spiritually? And why would you think that you would not grow into better health by reading the Bible? If it makes sense for your body, it certainly makes sense for your spirit. And Jesus gave his bread to us who were poor, that we might be nourished and fattened and strengthened by those words and then able to reproduce. You know, we have a cattle operation, and cattle, when they're weaned, if you want them to produce as first-year heifers, then what you do is you have to feed them in order to get them up to a particular weight where they will cycle. You know why a lot of Christians have never won another soul to Christ or never been involved in any way in trying to get another soul to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? The reason is they're not well nourished in the Bible. You're not a Bible reader. You need to be a Bible reader. God gave that to you. All right? That's first and foremost. The proverb we're studying, Proverbs 22, verse 9, says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." Then secondly, pastors, of which I'm one, pastors are to give of their bread to the sheep. Now, we recognize that when a pastor's preaching, he needs to be preaching from the very words of God that Jesus Christ gave us. But when I say here that pastors need to give of their bread to the sheep, you're not going to feed as a pastor a flock of sheep if you haven't made the bread that Jesus Christ has given you, bread suitable for the sheep that you feed. I'll give you an example. If my wife wanted to prepare bread for us, you know, she could go to the store and she could get some shortening, some flour, some baking soda or baking powder, and some salt, and either milk or water, and mix that together and make us a nice bread. I mean, a basic bread, like a biscuit or a camp bread, but she could make us a nice bread with that. But wouldn't it be something if she simply went to the store and got those ingredients that I just named, brought those to the table and set them down and said, okay, there's your bread. Well, the bread that is not in a digestible form, I mean, it's in a digestible form, but it's not in a form that we're going to want to eat. Raw flour, raw shortening, plain salt, baking powder. I mean, the water or the milk is okay, but the bread has not been, it has not been worked, it has not been combined, it has not been mixed in the proper proportion, it's not been baked, and I don't want to eat it in its raw ingredients. So why would your people want to eat what you have to give them in their raw ingredients? That's why I say the pastors need to give of their bread. You need to take the Word of God, Pastor. You need to read it, you need to study it, you need to pour over it, you need to mix the ingredients. You know, you need to labor in it so that it's suitable to the appetite and suitable to the nourishing of the people that you feed. And there are a lot of pastors that don't do that. I've been told, I've never seen it personally, but I've been told there are pastors who simply go to book services and other people write their sermons for them. Or they go to the internet and they get 1,000 sermons off the internet and then just simply preach what another man has prepared. You're not doing your sheep any good with that. That's not your bread. You haven't worked it. You've simply gone to the store. And you know something? It's like that. It's like going to the store and buying a loaf of bread, bringing it home. It's already pre-sliced. It's already been made. All you do is just you flip it out there on the table and tell your people to eat that. Well, I learned something about that kind of bread. For the most part, that kind of bread that you buy in the store is made of highly refined carbohydrates. Highly refined carbohydrates turn very quickly into glucose, so quickly that they begin to cause problems with what's called a sugar spike in your system so that you get lethargic after you've actually digested the food or as you've partaken of the food. You get lethargic. Your energy is a quick burn. It doesn't last. All right, well, there are a lot of congregations like that. They leave after they've been to church, and they got a quick burn. They're on high for God for about another hour or two, and then it all burns out, and then they have a lethargy, like the sugar low that comes from eating highly refined carbohydrates. You see, I'm making a parallel between the natural food that you eat and the spiritual food that has been given to you by a pastor that won't take the time to work it. Now, the right kind of bread to eat is the kind of bread that's made of complex carbohydrates, the kind that's not been broken down for ease of mixing and serving and preservation, the kind that's been worked hard because it's made of the complex carbohydrates that your body is used to eating and digesting. And then what happens is it's a slow burn. It provides you with the calories and with the carbohydrates that you need over a long period of time. You don't get the spike and you don't get the lethargic feeling after it's all burned out. It lasts until your next feeding, see? Well, the pastors that won't take the time to work that food and feed the sheep, there's a problem. Listen, Jesus Christ told Peter, said, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, I do, Lord." He said, "All right, then feed my sheep." Peter then wrote an epistle in 1 Peter chapter 5. And when he wrote that, he wrote to other pastors, other elders, pastors, and he said this. He said, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an ensample to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Well, I go back to this text here that we're studying, Proverbs 22:9. It says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. When a pastor will labor in the word here until the word that Jesus Christ has given him becomes his word, and it's processed and baked and mixed in such a way that it will strengthen the sheep that he feeds, there is a blessing in it. Because he's promised a crown of glory for doing that work. All right? So Jesus gave of his bread to us. That's both his body and his words. Pastors are to give of their bread to the sheep. That's a pastor who actually labors in the word of God and in doctrine so that the sheep can feed and be nourished from the words of God that he preaches. And then you, as a church member, saved, are to give the bread of God to the lost. Isaiah 55. You are to give of your bread to the lost. Isaiah 55, verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and, watch it, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void unto me, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, he makes a comparison here that like rain causes seed to bud and bread to be produced for the eater and waters the earth, so God's word accomplishes tasks when it goes out. Well, then you've got to put it out. You've got to give the bread of God to the lost. That's right. You know, I've seen in the ministry some pastors who are so diligent in their work, and I mean really diligent in their work, that I mean they labor in the words of God. They labor in the field to win the souls of the lost people to Jesus Christ. They're out visiting. They're very faithful in all of their service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet their congregations don't get very big because the pastor himself is out there just breaking his neck to get all of that work done, and the sheep simply come to church, pay the bills, and go home. Then I've also seen in the ministry pastors who spend a great deal of time feeding their sheep, but then teaching their sheep to go out and to partake of the bread of God and then give that bread to the lost in the form of tracts, in the form of personal witness, in the form of invitations to come hear the preaching. And you know something? The churches where the people in the church, where the sheep in the church are actually reproducing by giving of the bread of God to the lost, the churches are happier, the churches are growing, the saints are stronger because they're reproducing Christians, and the pastor's not worked till his tongue is dragging down under his feet every day. And the churches are healthy and growing. So where you are in your church, what you need to do is you need to get into the Bible in your reading and in your study and under your pastor's preaching and teaching, and then you need to give that bread to the lost. I was talking to my wife this morning, and she took a walk with one of the ladies in our neighborhood, and she came back in, and the lady's getting ready to take a trip for a few months. She's going back to the country from which she came, and my wife came running in. She said, "Where's that Bible?" It was one that she had put on a table when she was cleaning the day before, and I said, "It's over there on that table." So she went and got it, and she came back smiling. She said, "I've been witnessing to her. I've been preaching to her, because she's getting ready to take this trip, and I want her to take this Bible with her so she can keep reading about the things that I've been telling her." You know what that is? That's a saved woman giving the bread of God to the lost so that God can accomplish in the life of that lost sinner what he wants to accomplish in trying to bring her to the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to do that. You've got to do that. All right? In the Bible, we see illustrations. I've given you the spiritual applications here. Jesus gave of his bread to us, his body that we might be saved, his words that we might grow. Pastors are to give of their bread to the sheep, or Sunday school teachers to their classes, or people that we lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ to their disciples. And then saved people like you are to give the bread of God to the lost that they might be saved. Those are the spiritual applications. In the Bible, though, we find some of other blessings. And you say, what's the blessing of me given to the lost, by the way? The blessing is the crown of rejoicing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul told the Thessalonians there in Thessalonica. He said, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. You know what he's saying right there? He mentions the crown of rejoicing. You are our crown of rejoicing. When you lead a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, there's a great deal of joy in it. But then when that soul is in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, you'll be rewarded with a crown of rejoicing that you'll wear at least during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ and perhaps into all eternity. That's a blessing. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Okay? Now in the Bible, we'll look at a few examples, and then we'll look at a few examples in life of the practical application of this verse. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah called for a drought. Okay, that's good and bad. Good in that it woke up the nation. Bad in that he was subject to the conditions that resulted as a result of the famine. Eventually, the brook where he stayed ran out of water, and he went into a town and he met a widow woman there in 1 Kings chapter 17. And when he saw her, he said, I want you to feed me. And she said, listen, I don't have enough food here to feed me and my son. I'm getting ready to eat the last of it right now. I'm going to get two sticks and I'm going to make a cake for my son and a cake for me, and we're going to eat it and die. And Elijah said, well, look, you go ahead and do what you were going to do, but you make me a cake first. He says that in 1 Kings 17:13. He said, make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. You know, thank God that woman had a bountiful eye. Because she went ahead and gave of her bread to poor old Elijah and gave it to him first before she took for herself and for her son an amount that wasn't even sufficient for any of them. But when she did that, you know what happened? The Lord blessed her, and the barrel of meal from which she was withdrawing the meal to make the little cake and the cruse of oil that she used to pat it together never failed and never wasted after feeding Elijah. God blessed her by feeding her until the famine broke. Well, that's a great lesson. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, David and his men had been protecting Nabal's sheep and Nabal's men. And then David made a request for some food from Nabal. And Nabal, he was mad. He said, you know, you're just like all the other servants that have run away from their masters. That was the wrong thing to say to David. David was about to kill him. But Abigail, the woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, intervened in verse 18, took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisin, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses and took them to David, and fed him and his men. You say, now what was the blessing in that? Well, she first of all had a bountiful eye. And obviously she had a motive. She wanted to spare her life because David was going to come and kill indiscriminately everything that was Nabal's. So there was a blessing in that. But the bountiful eye that she had is this. She took care of God's future king. Nabal got drunk, had a heart attack, and died. And Abigail ended up as David's wife. What a blessing. The son that she had by David was a son named Daniel. He's also known as Kileab. And because of David's sin with Bathsheba, 4 of David's sons were going to die as a result of that sin. And 4 did. The son that he had by Bathsheba, and 3 of the 4 oldest sons that he had, Amnon, Absalom, and Adonijah. You know who escaped? The second son, Daniel. Kileab, Abigail's son. You talk about a blessing. Listen, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Don't you understand that when you have something to eat and there's somebody by you who doesn't have something to eat, and you share what you have with them so that they can have a portion of yours because they don't have any way to get anything to eat aside from you doing that, God looks at that and says, there's a blessing in that. Now, undoubtedly, in your church congregation, you've got some folks in there that don't have the means that you have. Why don't you do something anonymously for them? like they used to do in the old day. Buy them a sack of groceries and leave it on their porch. Why don't you go to your pastor and give him a little money and say, give it to that family there. This Christmas time is coming up. I want them to be able to have some nice things. I'm going to give of some of my bread. Isn't that what we call money sometimes? Some bread? I'm going to give some of my bread to that poor family anonymously. You know what? You'll have a bountiful eye if you do that. And when you do that, there'll be a blessing in it. For one thing, just the good feeling of having done something like that for the Lord anonymously. But the other thing is, God will remember that. And at a time when you have a particular need, God will be there to take care of it. I was reading a story the other day, and I'm still reading, it's a long book, about John Patton. Some call him John Payton, who was the Scottish missionary to New Hebrides, which is now called Vanuatu. It's out there near Australia in a chain of islands. He was telling a story when he was taken hostage with 400 other people in an event that took place in Glasgow years ago. There were 400 of them taken hostage. Well, there wasn't any food, there wasn't any water, there wasn't any facilities for these people. Eventually, somebody of their captors brought bread in for the 400 people, and there wasn't very much bread. And then they threw another hostage that they had found in with the group. And right before they got ready to eat that bread, immediately one of the guys that had a small, like a loaf or a biscuit or whatever he was going to eat, saw that newcomer. There wasn't a piece of bread for him because it hadn't been divided to him. He immediately took his piece and broke it in half and gave it to the newcoming hostage. What that did is it caused that group of hostages to come together and always take care of each other. And as a result, eventually, the captors couldn't break any of them and let them all go. You know what? We may find ourselves in a case just like this one of these days, if the Lord tarries. And the question you have to ask yourself is, am I going to be dog-eat-dog and get all I can and save all I can just to take care of me? Or are you going to have a bountiful eye and will you wait on the blessing of God to take care of you by giving of your bread to the poor when that time comes? Should it come? If the Lord tarries, it will come. Always remember to have a bountiful eye. And remember, there's a blessing in it. God takes care of those that have a bountiful eye. You don't do it to get the blessing. You just know that it's part of the deal. You do it because you have a bountiful eye. God bless you if you do. And if you don't, I pray after hearing this, you will have a bountiful eye.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.